理课堂听 class.com。
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Have all of those technological gadgets made your life easier? Maybe so, but then maybe not. Hi everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Troy, and today is day two of the article, Technology's Impact on Our Lives. Yesterday we looked at the impact that technology has had on society today, and in fact, psychologists, neuroscientists, they are saying that there is a cognitive overload. In other words, in our desire to multitask and manage our PDA and our cell phone, as well as our email, and life itself, we simply have too much stimulation for the brain to handle all at once. And this is causing psychological or cognitive overload. So, today in the article, we're going to talk about, well, the way it used to be, when you had time to sit down and talk to people without being interrupted by a cell phone or some other piece of technology. When was the last time you sat down and thought long and hard about a complicated question in life and actually took time to come our way with a complicated answer? Well, that's kind of what we're looking at today, and that there is a way we can maintain balance. Now, back with me on the program from yesterday are our three panelists, our three co-hosts on the program, Ethan, Jackie, and Bill. Hi.
Hi, Troy.
Now, what did you think about yesterday's program?
Well, I thought it was very interesting, and we talked a little about how technology and multitasking and the demand to do that has developed into a whole culture where if we don't meet up to those expectations, then we're not really being productive enough. But at the same time, our physical bodies and our mental state is not capable of doing that for a prolonged period of time.
Good point.
Well, you know, I've just been thinking about it. As we've talked about this, I realize how much I have been dragged, for lack of a better word, into the age of technology. I was one who didn't want to be part of it, and I am now, and I'm dependent on it.
I think it's very interesting the difference between Jackie and me. Jackie is coming from before there was a lot of the new computers where you could just go on and do whatever you wanted, whereas I have grown up in it, and so for me it's something that is just a part of my life, whereas for Jackie she's feeling like, well, this is something that is a big change in my life. And so it's a very interesting difference in that I have come to just expect it of myself, whereas she has seen a different type of lifestyle.
And I notice that when I deal with this kind of a thing, Ethan, he will look at something new and it'll just come to him very easily, where I have to fight for everything that I learn because they're just things that aren't in my brain that, you know, that the kids have grown up with. And so you have to explain things to me over and over again, and it's really a task to be part of the technology age.
Bill.
There's a line from a song from about maybe 10 years ago. I can't remember the name of it, but it says, "You miss too much these days if you stop and think." And that's really what we're facing today, is an information overload. And to actually take the time out, like you asked in the opening, Troy, to stop and think about something or actually to research it deeply, we feel like we're missing something if we're not moving at a frenetic pace. And so it's a little disturbing.
Well, that's on that note, Bill. Why don't we begin then with today's first reading and have Marcy then begin on page 41 in your Advanced magazine. The article's entitled Technology's Impact on Our Lives.
Asking questions. Today we can work at home or the coffee shop or even the beach. Is this a good thing? Are we so connected that we're actually disconnected? Does anyone have enough time to focus long enough to mull a question that requires a long, complicated answer? Levy has made it his mission to ask these questions. Last year, he hosted Information, Silence, and Sanctuary, a conference addressing work and well-being in modern life. His book, Scrolling Forward, examines how documents and information have morphed in the digital age.
Thank you, Marcy. This is Advanced Studio Classroom. Marcy read for us the first two paragraphs found on page 41 in your Advanced magazine, and this is with the article Technology's Impact on Our Lives. Now, Bill, just before the reading, you said, and in fact you were referring to what I said at the beginning of the program, have we or do we these days take time to actually think about the hard questions of life or questions that simply require a complex answer? When I was young, I enjoyed reading philosophy. I still do to some extent. On the other hand, and because I've gotten older, I think it's a little more difficult for me. Actually, maybe my mind is slowed down in some ways, perhaps. But, two, I think I've been interrupted so much in life that I just expect it to happen. And actually taking time to sit down and think or read a large book isn't – I don't feel that I have the time.
There's been more of a shift to idea or to information gathering away from ideas, because we did take time to think maybe 30 or 40 years ago and create ideas. Now, today is about speed and access to information and gathering that information.
Well, I've noticed with children, when I was a child, we had large amounts of time where we were expected to entertain ourselves, either by ourselves or with other children. We spent a lot of our time just thinking up games to play and imagining situations. And then I watched my children become more dependent on different kinds of toys and games. And now today's children, it seems like they have to have some kind of electronic amusement or some type of scheduled program, or they don't know what to do with themselves.
Well, we don't have television in our home. We have a television set, but we don't have cable. We don't receive television signals. So what we have is a VCR, though, if we want to play a movie. But what that does mean is that my daughters, when they do have that free time and they don't know what to do with themselves, they won't be watching the television because it's simply not convenient. So they'll play together.
And that was when we used to do a lot of our thinking, too. Was when we would sit with nobody else to talk to, or, you know, going to the beach, you would look at the ocean waves coming in and think about things.
But today we see we can work at the beach, we can work in the coffee shop, and so all of a sudden that time where we would once spend thinking has been taken away. And the author asks, is this a good thing? And I think this is something we all need to think about. Is the influence of technology in our life a good thing?
And in fact, he puts it in the following question. Right there on line 19, he says, are we so connected that we're actually disconnected? Good question. What do we mean when we use the word connected here?
Connected means when we are hooked up either by cell phone or by internet or PDA, people can contact us almost instantaneously, and we can do the same.
Okay. So for people who aren't using computers these days or have some other electronic communication device, we might say to that person, wow, you're not connected. You need to get connected. Well, maybe, though, you are so connected that you're disconnected. Disconnected from who? Well, maybe the rest of society and people in your life that really need to be part of your life.
Well, I've seen friends out together where the two of them aren't even talking to each other because they're talking to other people on their cell phones. Or people who are at a beach party together and somebody's sitting there with a computer and somebody's sitting with a PDA and someone's with a cell phone. And so they're together, but they're not connected. They're not actually relating to each other.
Well, here in our article, David Levy, he's the professor at the University of Washington. He said this is his business to ask these questions. And, of course, just above we see, does anyone have time to focus long enough to mull a question? M-U-L-L. What does it mean to mull a question?
Well, if you mull a question, you're going to probably just sit and think about it for a long time. Another good word here might be meditate on something. If you're just going to think about it and keep turning it over in your mind so that you can gradually get more and more of an answer to probably a very complex question.
And Levy is one of those persons who is helping the rest of us to think about how technology impacts our lives. In fact, he says last year he hosted a conference entitled Information, Silence, and Sanctuary. He was addressing work and well-being in modern life. And then he wrote a book here, Jackie.
Yes, I think that's interesting what he called the book. He calls it Scrolling Forward, which is a play on word because to scroll is computer terminology to move over a page, but he wants us to move forward with our technology.
Mm. And he sees here, it says how documents and information has morphed in the digital age. So I'm wondering, what is he going to talk about here? Of course, the word morphed here just is a word we use to mean how one thing becomes something else by changing its form. Well, I used to receive letters in the mail that I could open it, you know, open an envelope and pull the letter out. But these days I receive it in an electronic format known as email. So mail or snail mail, the kind that we used to get, has now morphed into email. Well, Levy says it's about maintaining balance, and he's even going to share with us from his own personal life here. So let's have Marcy read for us now the rest of today's lesson.
Maintain balance. In Levy's view, technology is not the culprit. The problem is the imbalance we've allowed it to perpetuate. His life offers a glimpse into his own balancing act. He meditates daily and, as a practicing Jew, honors the Sabbath, keeping unplugged one day a week. Yet he is also an email junkie and will rush back to his inbox. I take issue with the view that technology has a life of its own. To say the computer or internet is good or bad is not helpful. Technology helps connect us to friends. It sorts and recalls massive amounts of information, simplifies writing, and even aids those who want to mellow out by working from the boonies. However, some say the speed and ubiquity of technology cause problems for those who are either psychologically ill-equipped or ill-trained to face dogged expectations that come with the package. Some of us become obsessed, checking emails while on vacation or late at night. We fire off text messages or get lost surfing the web and never quite focus. Some of us hang around chat rooms, trusting people who are not what they seem and flaming, harshly criticizing, people we will never meet.
This is Advanced Studio Classroom, and Marcy just read for us the last half of today's lesson found on page 41 in your magazine, and it begins with the two words, maintaining balance. And here we see David Levy's view about how he maintains balance in his life.
He says technology is not the culprit, and the culprit is the person who is to blame for something, or a person who maybe if there was a crime committed, the culprit would be the person who committed the crime. And so he's saying that it's not technology that's to blame, it's something that we are doing.
All right, so be sure not to get rid of your cell phones, your PDAs, and all those other technological gadgets that can make your life better, because after all, they're not the culprit, we are.
Right. And the problem is, Troy, in the next sentence we see, is the imbalance we've allowed it to perpetuate. And to perpetuate means to cause something to continue. So it's actually a choice we make. We have made the choice to allow these gadgets to continue to interrupt and distract us.
Okay. So it's our inability to manage these things or to manage new technology in our life that perpetuates the problem that we have. Well, what is the glimpse that David Levy here offers us?
Well, a glimpse means he's letting us look into his own life or his own balancing act, as he calls it. And he does some things to keep his life in balance. And one of them is to meditate daily. And meditate means taking time to be quiet, to think. Mm. There are formal ways of meditating and there are informal ways of meditating. And so that's one of the things that he does to keep his life in balance.
And we see here he is also a practicing Jew. And a practicing something is that you are carrying out the actions, you are doing what is part of that way of doing something. So he is a practicing Jew. He does things that the Jews do. And one of those things involved is he honors the Sabbath, keeping unplugged once a day.
Well, typically when we use the word practicing, of course, it does mean that we have some kind of religious conviction, some kind of religious ideal that we follow. And in David Levy's life anyway, he says for him that religious practice is honoring the Sabbath. What does he mean here?
Well, honoring means to observe or to do what you're supposed to on that time. It's not honor as in glory here. It just means to do the things you're supposed to do on the Sabbath. And in that case, that would be that they would not walk, take cars out. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't use electricity. There are various other things that the Jewish Sabbath requires. So he keeps those requirements as a Jew.
Okay, when is the Sabbath for the Jews? I think it's 6 p.m. Saturday evening, I think is when it begins.
I believe it's Friday, 6 p.m.
Well,
to sundown of the Saturday.
Okay, that's correct.
So actually sundown to sundown about.
You're right. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. And it says this allows him to keep unplugged one day a week. He uses the word unplugged here, Bill.
Unplugged means to remain unconnected from technology, especially the internet and email. So he just turns off all of the gadgets.
Okay, so unplugged is one of those words that we also hear. And, of course, the word plugged is another one. Are you plugged in? And
mm-hmm.
that's another verb phrase to refer to being connected, isn't it?
And we also have a lot of things for the computer that are called like plug and play. In other words, it means you just plug it in and you're ready to go. So that's another phrase that comes from this plugged in.
But we see that even though he does set this time aside, he is still an email junkie and will rush back to his inbox. And so it is not just that he is not influenced by it. He still uses email. It's not that he's totally denying it all the time. It's just that he has set this time aside where he has decided he is not going to do these kinds of tasks on this day.
And he says, I take issue with the view that technology has a life of its own. To say the computer or internet is good or bad is not helpful. So he's not focusing on technology as the culprit or as the problem that people are actually trying to manage here. He says it's our managing of that technology that is the problem.
Right. I'll give you a good example, Troy. We can manage our cell phone. If we let it interrupt the dinner, that's our managing. It's not the person calling us. It's whether or not we choose to answer the cell phone or turn it off. It's the human choice in this.
Now, I think it's interesting. He starts out this sentence with, I take issue. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's an idiom, and it means I disagree. In other words, I don't agree with the fact that technology has a life of its own. This is a very useful idiom to know. I take issue.
Good point. I take issue with something or against something.
And so he says that people are saying that technology is bad, it's not good for us to have. And he says, no, it is a good thing. It helps us to connect for friends. It sorts and recalls massive amounts of information. It simplifies writing and even aids those who want to mellow out by working in the boonies. So it does all these really good things. So it's not that's wrong. It's how we are using it that's wrong.
Okay. So as we've said, David Levy's viewpoint is then that he sees the benefits of using technology for these purposes, for these reasons. And he uses, in fact, in the last phrase he says is, it can allow you to mellow out by working from the boonies. You can have a Wi-Fi, some kind of a connection that allows you to do your email or to stay connected to the internet. At the same time, you might be out in the middle of the woods someplace, out in the middle of a forest, I suppose.
And we hear mellow out often in English, and that means to become relaxed or calm. Somebody will say, oh, I'm going to mellow out for a while.
Is that like chill out?
In a way, yes, it is.
Okay. And what about the boonies here, Jackie?
Well, a boonies is the rural or isolated place, and it was shortened from the word boondocks. I remember when you used to hear out in the boondocks a lot more, but now it's the boonies.
Okay, and so it's just simply talking about a rural or isolated place. And again, it's an informal word, but people often use it if you, for example, you were to ask someone, where do you live? Oh, I live in the country. They might, rather than say country, they might prefer to say boonies. I live in the boonies. Well, when I was growing up as a boy, I lived in the boonies. However, some say the speed and ubiquity of technology causes problems for those who are either psychologically ill-equipped or ill-trained.
And ubiquity here means something that is widespread. It is everywhere. And so some people are saying that how quickly the technology is developing and also how widespread it has become, it's not fair for those people who are psychologically unable to deal with that development.
Okay, well, it does cause problems, I suppose, for some people. It does cause problems for me, because when I get a new device and I upgrade my system, I find that my old device no longer works with my newer equipment. That gives me psychological problems. It makes me angry.
Well, you can see that there's another key word. It's not a vocabulary word, but in the next line it says, they face dogged expectations. Mm. I have a friend who has been resisting a cell phone now for 3 years, and she finally has given up because all of us just insist that she has to have a cell phone. And that what is dogged expectations. It's just somebody won't give up. They expect it from you, and you have to give in whether you really want to or not.
Mm. And this really goes back to what we began with in the beginning. There is this expectation that when you are working for a company that you should multitask. It's that kind of pressure that people are placed under, which could cause some psychological problems.
Well, one of those dogged expectations is that we need to be connected at all times. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that means we need to be accessible. Unfortunately, people will call us at all hours of the day on our cell phone or maybe send us an email, and then they'll wonder, well, why didn't you answer the phone at 11 o'clock at night? And how come it took you an hour to respond to my email?
I think this has become even more of an issue as we become an international community where maybe your business is in two different parts of the world, because if you're living in the United States but you also have contacts in India, well, the contacts in India want to phone you, it's going to have to be late at night or early in the morning for one of the two, or maybe even both. It becomes a problem of how is the technology going to aid us and when is it going to injure us?
Mm. So some people are actually obsessed checking their emails while on vacation or late at night. To be obsessed with something.
To be obsessed with something means that you have to have it. You want it all of the time. And, you know, it's really easy, even if you're at your office and you're at your desk, to be in the middle of a project and the little envelope or something, whatever sign you have comes up that shows you have a new email. It's really hard to keep right on working. You know, you always want to say, well, what's in my email box? What's in my email box?
Mm.
And so you're back to shifting tasks again, which is not necessarily a good thing.
Sure. So there is this obsession then, it says, to fire off text messages using your cell phone or send email or surf the web. You might even hang around chat rooms on the internet. You might even flame people. I mean, what a way to spend your time, firing off text messages and doing all of these other things. But this does come from people who are obsessed.
Well, yes, and to fire something off means to send something out very quickly, and then also you use the term flaming there, and that is to harshly criticize someone, to say a lot of negative things about everything that they are saying, probably in a chat room or an internet forum.
Okay. Flaming is one of those words. It's been around for, probably the last 10 years. But it just simply means, as you said, to say unkind things about people or even to type in large caps over the internet if you're trying to yell. And oftentimes when people flame, they often type in all cap letters.
So we're back to that thing of thinking, having time to think. Mm. Very often we respond to email quickly, we respond to text messages quickly, we respond in chat rooms quickly, and so sometimes we're saying things we shouldn't because we haven't had time to think through what we're doing.
All right. Well, let's see if in today's feature, the guys we heard from yesterday, let's see if it's gotten better.
Yesterday, two friends, Sam and Dave, met briefly for lunch. Dave had to rush back to work to join his boss for a meeting with an important customer. Did he get there in time?
I'm here, boss.
Just in the nick of time, Dave. I just had the customers go into the conference room. Where were you?
I had to meet Sam for a quick bite to eat. Sorry, it took a couple minutes longer than I thought it would. I drove my Segway human transporter as fast as I could to get back here.
Whatever. Here's a brief outline of the PowerPoint presentation I want you to give these folks on our new line of MP3 players. They're thinking of ordering a bunch of them to sell in their retail outlets.
But, boss, how am I supposed to give a presentation that I've never even seen before?
No problem. I've got it figured out. You wear this earphone, and I'll talk you through the whole thing. See, it's similar to that earpiece that you use with your cell phone to operate it hands-free.
I'm supposed to give the presentation and listen to you in an earpiece at the same time?
Don't worry, Dave. You're very good at multitasking. This will be easy for you.
Why don't you just do the presentation?
I need to be in the back of the room, telling you what to do.
But what if they have some questions that I don't know the answers to? I'm not very familiar with all the technical capabilities of our new products.
That's why you're going to wear these digital video eyeglasses.
Digital what?
Here, just put these on. You can read text and see pictures on the inside of the lenses. I've got my secretary at a computer in the back of the room. For any difficult question, she can key in or type the answer, and it will appear right before your eyes.
Are you crazy? You want me to give a PowerPoint presentation that I've never seen, listen to you on an earpiece, and read digital messages appearing on the special glasses?
Dave, your cognitive abilities are extremely high. I have no doubt you'll do a great job. Now here, make sure that earpiece is in place, and put these high-tech glasses on.
I'm not paid enough.
Is Dave experiencing cognitive overload? Does he need to mellow out? Find out tomorrow if a seminar about simplifying his life is helpful to Dave.
Sounds like Dave is a little too connected. Maybe he needs to become unplugged.
Well, tomorrow we're talking about some of the effects that psychologists, neuroscientists say that have resulted from being plugged in too long. And until then, this is Troy.
Ethan.
Jackie.
And Bill.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.